Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mark Schlereth. He is one of the hosts on The Breakfast Ball. You know we love that show around these parts. We'll also get his thoughts on the Denver Broncos. Mark, happy to have you join us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. Good to be with you guys.
So Danny and I used to host here together in Kansas City. When you see him tomorrow at work, tell him that Carrington said that he is a jinx.
I will definitely let him know. I might call him tonight as soon as we get off the phone.
You probably already know that he's a jinx.
Oh, yeah, dude. And he just knows everything, you know. Danny knows everything. And I mean, if it was up to Danny, honestly, you'd have a center and a quarterback, right? And then you'd have 9 wide receivers on the football field. That's all you need. So anyhow, but I love him. He's awesome. He's great.
So there's a lot to talk about. Let's talk about you guys' quarterback in Denver. Let's talk about Bo Nix. You guys have kind of had some quarterback changes over the last couple of years, but it sounds like you guys have potentially found a long-term solution with Bo Nix.
Well, you would hope so. Bo is unbelievably athletic. He's a really smart kid, and he's actually played pretty well considering, you know, he's a rookie, and considering they're rebuilding things there in Denver and considering they don't have much of a running game and, you know, there's a lot of different. They don't have a tight end that can, you know, control the middle of the field, I would say, you know, the receiving core. I think Courtland Sutton is very unproven and very young. And so, you know, they've made a conscious effort to start to rebuild this football team, understanding that, they've got some work to do and at least try to even get close to where Kansas City is. So they understood that going in. Sean Payton knows that. They're really happy with Bo Nix. Still a lot of work to do, but at least it feels like they have found the guy that they think can take them into the future. And hopefully as that roster continues to grow and get better, compete with Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs.
I've been really impressed by what I've seen from this Broncos team so far, but I do have this question. You obviously watch them a lot closer than I am. I do wonder sort of how real the Broncos are. Like, what's their ceiling? Because, I mean, we've seen them beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I was really impressed by that. But since then, their last 4 wins are the Jets, the Raiders, the Saints, and the Panthers. So this is a team that feels like they're a fringe playoff team, but I'm not really sure how sort of real they are.
Yeah, they went to Baltimore last week, and, you know, I mean, the final score is not indicative of how the game went. Early in that game, they went toe-to-toe with Baltimore. Bo Nix scrambles for a touchdown, which would have made it, 17-14, and right at the end of the first half. And, you know, holding call by Garrett Bowles gets called back. They end up kicking a field goal, 17-10. They kick off, and 2 plays later, Baltimore scores, and then they come out at halftime. And they score like a long touchdown. So, all of a sudden, a 17-14, what should have been a 17-14 game, is all of a sudden a rout, you know, 31-10. So that's kind of how the game went. But I was actually impressed the first half. they hung with them. Defensively, they're pretty damn good. And like I said, they had a couple of two-play drives that ended up costing that defense. But for the most part, they've been really good. They're good at rushing the passer, good at creating pressure. Vance Joseph has done a really good job of creating simulated pressure and really attacking protection. So I think the weakness right now is lack of continuity at the receiver position, lack of explosive playmakers at the receiver position. No tight end production to speak of. They've had one game where a tight end did anything, and that's been a real sore spot for the Broncos for the last 10 years. And no running game. Their running backs, Javonte Williams, who was really promising as a rookie and really a dominant physical presence at the running back position. Really, he destroyed his knee a couple of years ago, and he's got about zero burst and zero cutback ability. And so they're just not – it's just not a very dynamic run game, which, puts just that much more pressure on a young quarterback. So those are issues that they're having right now.
Right now we're talking to Mark Schlereth, learning a little bit more about the Denver Broncos. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. He is also the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. All of our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo the game, be delicious. Mark, why do you think these two teams have just played close games? It feels like it's a little bit more than just a division rivalry. If there has been a defense, I don't want to say has figured out Patrick Mahomes, but he has at least struggled against in his career. It feels like it's the Broncos. They just play him a little differently than it feels like the rest of the league does.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of that is that litmus test. I think there's part of it, too, honestly, that Kansas City's just been so much better than the Broncos that I'm not saying they play to their level to a degree, but they, I've said it on my radio show in Denver, it always feels like, a cat toying with a half-dead mouse on the porch, right? It's just playing, batting it around a little bit, and it lets it get up and scramble around, then it bats it back around. And so that's how I felt about this matchup. Like, at any time, Kansas City can explode and just decide to win the game. And, ultimately, I think that's the best thing I can say about the Kansas City Chiefs. You're like, I don't want to hate. I really, at my Denver roots and, playing for the Broncos, I really want to hate the Kansas City Chiefs. I really want to hate Patrick Mahomes. I really do. Like, it's like sports hate, good old-fashioned sports hate. But, man, I love watching him play. I love the way they play the game. And I think the biggest thing for me when I watch Kansas City Chiefs, and this is not just Patrick Mahomes. This is Mahomes, this is the offense, this is the defense, special teams. Whenever they have to make a critical play, somebody on that roster makes a critical play, whether it's defense or offense or special teams. And that's the thing that I just have so much respect for the way they play the game, is in critical moments, Patrick Mahomes makes a critical play. And you saw it in the overtime against Tampa the other night. It's like they lose the coin toss and Baker Mayfield just closes his eyes and throws his head back because he knows it's over. Like, oh, shoot, we just gave Patrick Mahomes the ball. See you later. We lost the game. Why didn't we go for two? I mean, you could see it on his face. And I just respect how great, as much as I hate it, and I hate giving you guys this, satisfaction, I love watching the guy play, and they're just really, really good, and they're fun to watch, and they're good at every level, so it's not just one side of the ball.
Mark, last question here, and we appreciate your time. You obviously see this game as a play-by-play broadcaster. You're also a prominent media member. Who do you see as the Chiefs' biggest contender in the AFC? Because I think we've sort of seen the challengers emerge. Kansas City is at the top, and then I would say in that second tier, it's some order of Buffalo, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Which of those three teams, or do you think a team like Cincinnati, if they could win today, could get back in it, and they're the biggest contender? Let's say that Kansas City makes the AFC Championship game. Who do you think's the most likely opponent for them?
I think it's Baltimore, because I think Baltimore won. Obviously, King Henry is ridiculous. Their running game is ridiculous. And then you look at a couple different factors. Like Lamar is playing great right now. And I mean, MVP level greatness. And the way they run, the way they're constructed, they're just uniquely constructed. And the way they can run the ball, now Kansas City, nobody really runs the ball very well against Kansas City, but the way they're constructed, their play action, their run game, all those things, and the fact that they're just uniquely constructed, they're more collegiate in their run game than most teams are. And obviously, you know, anytime Jackson, Lamar gets the ball in space, that guy, you know, makes NFL players look like junior varsity players. He's just that gifted athletically. So I think they're the most uniquely structured team. Therefore, you know, with 1 week to prepare, they're a really hard matchup. You know, that said, Baltimore, you know, and Kansas City have played some really tough and exciting games, and Kansas City always seems to be able to come out on top.
And that was Mark Schlereth joining us on the show. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. He is the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. All of our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. He also is on the Breakfast Ball with our dear friend Danny Parkins. Mark, man, happy to have you join us on the show today, man. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime, you guys be well.
Absolutely. That is Mark Schlereth joining us on the show today. You guys know he played for the Broncos. He also hosts every morning with Park. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to switch gears for just a little bit before we get back to the NFL. You guys know that tomorrow Kansas plays North Carolina. So I challenge Rob. I made a Roy Williams North Carolina team. He made a Bill Self Kansas team. I will unveil my five. Rob is going to unveil his five, and we see which team is better. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Chiefs coverage brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Visit eatandys.com to find the location nearest you. Top your day with a smile.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, is what we're going to do for like the next 6 minutes. KU plays North Carolina tomorrow in basketball. We would do this topic tomorrow, but Rob is taking off for a regular season college basketball game. There are some things that you can take off for. Rob got married. Sure, take that time. Take a couple of days. Rob had a honeymoon. Ooh, sure. Where'd you guys go? Like Jamaica or somewhere? Yeah, take a couple of days, but come back because it's football season. taking off for a regular season college basketball game before they play the heated rival Denver Broncos is unacceptable. I filed a complaint with HR, and hopefully it won't happen again. But for that reason, we have to do this topic today because we can't do it tomorrow because Rob won't be here. So this was the rules. I made a North Carolina team. The only rule was they had to play under Roy Williams at his time in North Carolina. Roy Williams' time in North Carolina and Bill Self's time at KU started at the exact same time. I made a North Carolina team. I have five starters, and I also have three coming off the bench. Rob, you also made a Bill Self team during that same time frame, those same parameters. And we're going to put it to the text line on what team they think is better as we get ready for tomorrow's matchup. I do have to ask you a really, really quick question. Very quick question. Are you guys letting more teams in you guys' little club, that little blue blood club that you talk about? Seems nonsense to me. Seems like it's something that's made up, like, oh, we're a blue blood. I don't even know what that means, to be completely honest with you. But you tell me that tomorrow we got two of these made up blue bloods playing each other. So we have North Carolina and KU. Are you letting any other new people in your club, or is it just you two, Duke, and Kentucky? Have you guys let UConn into this little club?
I'll tell you this about the blue blood club. We're like Mission Hills. We're old money.
Oh, we're old money. Okay.
We don't want any Cerner billionaires in our area.
Okay,
no,
I didn't know.
That's
what I'm asking. I didn't know if you guys were letting other people into your club because UConn feels like they should be in your club. They got more championships than you guys have. Now, you telling me that you guys can be in the club, but we're not letting UConn into the club? What about Michigan State?
Michigan State had fallen out of the club.
Well, then why are they still part of the Champions Classic then? Remove them from the Champions Classic and let's now add UConn. Can we kick teams out?
We can absolutely kick teams out. Villanova got kicked out last night.
They lost to Columbia. And I ain't talking about Mizzou. They lost to Brown yesterday. Embarrassing performance yesterday from them. All right. Someone said, where is this hypothetical game going to be? Well, we can't play this at Allen Fieldhouse because we know it's not fair.
Why not? It seems like that is a bastion of great, great officiating.
No, we know that's not true. Let's play this game in Vegas. All right, let's play this hypothetical game in Vegas because it can't be at Allen. The Dean Dome, it's fair. It's going to be called right down the middle 50-50.
Oh, that's because it's empty.
Yeah, we can't expect that same treatment over at Allen Fieldhouse. We refuse to play this game in Allen Fieldhouse. We don't want a home and home. We want to go to Vegas to play this hypothetical game. All right, Rob, hit the music. I'll give you my team. Let's go up position by position. At point guard, I got Ty Lawson.
At point guard, I have Frank Mason. So I win so far because Frank Mason won National Player of the Year and Ty Lawson didn't. Okay. So far, so good for the home team.
Okay, all right. At shooting guard, I have Rashad McCants as my shooting guard. Great backcourt.
I got Mario Chalmers as my two guard.
You're going to argue Mario Chalmers is a better college player than Rashad McCants?
I think it's a wash, but that's okay.
It's a wash? Okay.
I mean,
I'm asking.
I mean, he was MOP of the tournament. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, because he hit this one, I guess it was kind of important shot. I mean, it was all right, I guess. That's why he was MOP. I mean, he wasn't the best player on the team or anything. But
I mean, averaging 13 a night. I mean,
I guess he contributed to that championship.
He also led college basketball in steals per game every year he was at Kansas. But yeah, you know, it was just the one shot that made him MOP.
Basically. At small forward, I have Tyler Zeller.
Wow, you got a big team.
Yeah, we need size. We're not out here running and gunning, shooting all these threes. No, we're going down in the paint. We're playing old school basketball. Tyler Zeller at the three.
Well, I'm running a multiple guard lineup because I got Sherron Collins. Boom.
You got him.
Well, he's the two. I guess I did
okay,
wrong.
Okay, yeah, I'm just asking. That's what Sherron's, I'm saying here.
Sherron's going to be the two. We're going to have 2 point guards on the floor, and then Chalmers is my three.
I'm not sure if his conditioning is where it needs to be against this
lineup. Not in 2024, but at the peak of his powers.
Not sure. Oh. Not sure of his conditioning.
I would take Sherron over Zeller or McCants or Ty Lawson.
All right, keeping with the size theme, at power forward, I have Sean May.
You have a really big team.
Size.
Did Roy recruit guards to Carolina?
No, they had a bunch of just okay guards. Now, they had a bunch of guards like Joel Berry, because they had a bunch of those kind of guards that were there.
Dudes
that were really good at North Carolina. They had a bunch of those kind of guys. I'm going to go Sean May. Sean May is giving whoever you put at power forward fits.
Thomas Robinson will be a power forward for me, another first-team All-American, and I believe he was runner-up for Player of the Year that year. So, I mean, based on talking about conditioning, Sean Mayen getting up and down the floor
right,
on Thomas Robinson.
You know what? We're going to struggle with we're going to struggle with Thomas Robinson's athleticism in that matchup. If we're going to struggle a little bit, I feel like I have the more skilled big man. We certainly can get Thomas Robinson in foul trouble in this matchup. At center, you already know who it is, Rob. I will put Tyler Hansborough for center on this North Carolina team. He is the best player on either one of these two teams.
Hansborough at the five into the four. That's nitpicking.
That's why I got Sean May there. That's why I got Sean May size.
I got Joel Embiid to the five.
Is he healthy? Is he available for this game?
I mean, first off, Psycho T is going to foul out for punching a dude in the face.
This game is in March, so I don't know if Joel Embiid's even. I don't know.
Classic non-con game in March in Vegas. Very realistic.
I don't even know if Joel Embiid's going to be healthy enough to play in that game. For my three coming off the bench for my rotation, I have Kendall Marshall. He's going to help run the point for me. I have John Henson keeping it with the size theme. I also have Wayne Ellington coming off the bench too, a guy that could drop 20 at any moment back at UNC.
I legitimately had no idea that Roy exclusively recruited average guards to Carolina.
Let's not do Kendall Marshall like that when he was at North Carolina.
Kendall Marshall
was a dog. Let's not do that.
He hit that. Actually, it's a shot forgotten to history. We talk about Julio Jones' catch. Kendall Marshall's three to tie the game right before Nova hit the shot.
That was actually Marcus Page. That was a different. See, that's how many guards they had in Carolina. You can't even keep them straight.
My three off the bench: Brandon Rush, Ochai Agbaji, and Udoka Azubuike. Apparently, I needed more size in this.
For sure, we're pounding it down low with John Henson.
But you're going to run Roy's offense where you run up and down the floor at 100 miles an hour?
No, we're running high-low. We're going to run that offense. Actually,
I would love to see Roy's run-and-gun offense with Tyler Zeller at the three. Also, does your team have any shooting? Do you have a single three-point shooter on the floor?
Yeah, Rashad McCants. He can shoot it a little bit.
I mean, a little bit is...
Who you got shooting on your team? Sharon?
Frank Mason? Agbaji, Brandon Rush, Mario Chalmers. Yeah, I got shooters.
Okay. That's fair. That one season from Ochai was really, really good. You know who's actually turned into a pretty decent NBA player? Christian Brown.
Yeah.
Christian Brown turned into a pretty decent NBA player. Grady Dick's actually playing pretty well for the Toronto Raptors, too. I know you guys don't keep up with KU players once they're done. They do keep playing basketball. I know it's hard to believe, but once they leave KU, they leave KU to play in a different league. And Christian Brown has actually turned into a pretty decent player in that league. And Grady Dick's actually starting to kind of turn the corner, starting to figure some things out.
Not all of them play in the next league. Joel Embiid is fighting reporters and standing on the bench.
No, he comes back on Tuesday. Let's not do that. He comes back on Tuesday.
He definitely threw a towel at a reporter. That's a thing that 100% happens.
Yeah, he comes back on Tuesday. So let's not do that with Joel Embiid. Someone on the text line asked, why did Billy Preston not make your team? Seems like a good question to me.
Did he ever play a game at Kansas? Because
I saw him play at Kansas. I was there. I saw it.
The FBI tells me that never happened, and the poor victims in Lawrence were really just duped by the Adidas hierarchy.
That's terrible, man. I saw it with my own two eyes. I was physically there. You saw his uniform one game. I know. That was all I did.
I actually was at that game, too.
You know what? I also saw Michael Porter's one game while I was there,
That's
too.
True. It's funny. Too.
It was funny.
My favorite part of that little charity event was they announced that you can foul out with six, and Jonte was chasing the number.
Yeah, no. He was. He was absolutely chasing. No, Jeremiah Tillman had seven fouls in the first 15 minutes of the game. That was actually a pretty fun experience. Let me give you guys two Chiefs points that have been swirling around in my brain that I think now is the right time to have that conversation. We talk a lot about the one-year kind of prove-it deals on this show. And with the Chiefs sign a lot of those players, as most teams in the NFL do. Well, they took a chance on three individuals, and they have had varying results with those three. But I think those three are an example that you got to keep shooting. They signed Juju on a one-year deal, a guy that got cut. He had a 100-yard game, and then what you were worried about Juju is, I think Juju's legs are about done. I don't think he's got four more years in the league. I'm not even sure if he has three more years in the league. Juju, to me, seems like somebody that plays one or two more seasons. I've made $40 million. I'm going to now go play video games on Twitch and make a whole lot of money doing so. So you took a chance on Juju. It was working when he was healthy, and then he got injured, but you kind of knew that you were going to have to manage his injury over the course of the season. You took a chance on Hollywood Brown. He is also a guy that had an injury history. Now, his injury could have happened to anybody. You got tackled the wrong way. You hurt your shoulder. It didn't repair the way that you thought it was. You got surgery. I think that Hollywood Brown is going to play at some point this year. And you also took that same chance for Kareem Hunt. This was a guy that was sitting there unemployed heading into the football season. An injury happened. You went and grabbed him. And we came into it with low expectations. At least we did on this show. So I can't speak for everybody. And he is by far and away exceeded your expectation. You're not going to hit all of these one-year kind of deals. But you have to keep taking those one-year deals. I know this is a little bit different, but I will never fault them for the trade for Kadarius Toney. You had an extra third-round pick. You take a chance. The next time that you got a chance to go take another Kadarius Toney type, you make the trade and you do it. Maybe you strike gold and you get somebody for a lot cheaper than you should have acquired them, or maybe it flames out. In that same vein with these one-year kind of deals, you keep taking them. You keep making the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. You keep picking up the Kareem Hunts. You keep taking a chance on the Juju Smith-Schusters and the Hollywood Brown. You're not going to shoot 100% from the field on these deals and these one-year prove-it kind of deals. But when they do work, and you got a guy like Kareem Hunt for the league minimum right now, and he has been your workhorse. He has been your most productive offensive player for the last month. Man, that is an overwhelming win. If I had told you that Juju was going to have a 100-yard game in the first month of the season, everybody signs up for that deal. The Hollywood Brown injury just could have, it just, football happened at that point. But you're telling me that he's a player you think you're going to add in the second half of the season, and you can hopefully get healthy and get right, at least in that aspect, heading into the postseason. So to me, the moral of this thing is, man, keep taking swings, keep taking chances. You're not going to shoot 100% from the field. You didn't shoot 50% from the field, at least in this range. But I bet you, Rob, if we looked it up and we added up how much they paid Juju, how much they paid Hollywood Brown, and how much they paid Kareem Hunt, they probably paid $6 million for those three players. Maybe. I mean, Juju's not making any money. Kareem's not making any money. And Hollywood signed a one-year, what, $4.5 million deal? You're paying three players for nothing. Kareem has made up the value for the other two players you're not getting with what you got from him over the course of the last 6 weeks of the season. You have to continue to take these chances on these one-year deals, and they're going to miss some. But they're also going to connect on those two, and they have figured out a way to make those players pretty impactful in helping them win games.
And I think what the Chiefs have done, and it works both ways, is they've built the reputation among players of come here, play well, and you go get paid. Like, it has become a mutual thing. Like, there are one-year deals across the NFL, and I agree with you on the whole. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal because either he succeeds or fails, and then he's off the books at the end of the season. That's just the nature of the beast. But the Chiefs have shown with players like Drew Tranquil and others, come here, play well, and there's a payday on the backside. It might not be with us. Andrew Wiley was a one-year deal. Remember, they brought him back for 1 year. And then he went and got paid by the Commanders. I think this offseason, if DeAndre Hopkins has a season of, like he's had against the Bucks, he might get paid on the back end. It might not be in Kansas City, but he'll get paid. I think there are other players who will come here and they'll say, I'll take the risk, I'll do some winning, and if I'm a cog, a part of the machine that is winning, I get paid on the back half, whether it be here or there. So you might see more players willing to take, hey, that's 90% of my value, but it's a one-year deal, and I'll do it because even though it's 1 year, I don't like the security blanket works out at the end because those players leaving Kansas City find contracts.
And I think it's also, to your point about DeAndre Hopkins, is I think you can see in a very short period of time how appreciative guys are to be in Kansas City. Think about their recent moves. How emotional we've seen Kareem Hunt about coming back to Kansas City. And in a two-week span, you have seen DeAndre Hopkins cry on the field about what it means to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think what you have sort of created is very different than what you saw with the Patriots. We talk a lot about the Patriots way, but now that the Patriots way is over, I think we've heard from enough players, man, playing on the Patriots wasn't really that fun. They just won more than everybody else. But I think you see like a different level of connection here. And it was in the Patriots documentary earlier, the one on Apple. If you remember the quote, I think it was Julian Edelman, when they said, "We played for Tom, but we worked for Bill." I think what you have seen, at least with the Chiefs, is they kind of play for each other, and they also play for the bosses in this category. They certainly play for Andy Reid. They certainly play for Steve Spagnuolo. That it has just been a different environment that has been created. And if you're a guy that's looking to get a one-year kind of prove-it deal, or if you're a guy that's looking for redemption like Kareem Hunt, or a guy like DeAndre Hopkins that has made a lot of money in this league, but now it's about the winning part of things. Hey, I've chased the money. I went to this situation. I thought it was going to be good. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have too many seasons left. He maybe has, what, 3 seasons left as an NFL player? Hey, you don't have too many more chances to win a Super Bowl or be a contributing team on a Super Bowl team. Man, you finally have that chance. If you are D-Hop, this is your best chance you have ever had in the NFL to win a championship. Think about the infrastructure that you were in. Think about the quarterback that you have. Think about the defense that you were playing with. This is by far and away your best chance. You got to come into that situation motivated. You got to come into that situation hungry, ready to prove things. So I was just looking at this, and I'm just like, man, you know, looking at these deals, and they make this trade for this guy, and this is what good organizations do. Keep firing. Keep firing. Keep signing these kind of players. Maybe they work, maybe they don't work, but you'll keep having more success than not because of the infrastructure that you've created. I also was thinking this as well. So this is the other thought that was kind of swirling around in my brain. The player who has made themselves the most money over the first half of the season has been Trey Smith. Now, maybe Trey Smith comes back next year. I don't know. I'm telling you that if you were Trey Smith, I don't know if you're coming back on the hometown discount. Not at that position, and not with what you've done. The reason Kareem Hunt is having the success that he is having is because he is running behind the best left guard in the National Football League, the best center in the National Football League, and the best right guard in the National Football League. The left guard has gotten paid. The center just got paid. The right guard hasn't gotten paid. So maybe that money comes from the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess kind of be tough because you're paying everybody and you've already paid your right tackle and you've already paid your center. So maybe somebody ends up being the odd man out. But with what you've seen from the Chiefs and the toughness and just running and just being more physical than the opposition, there are so many reasons to sign Trey Smith if you are the Giants or another one of those kind of teams. You're telling me you're going to sign a guy who's a winner, a guy who's been healthy, a guy who's physical, a guy who has improved in run blocking and pass blocking, and that guy's going to set the tone for your offensive line room, somebody's going to swoop him up at a big price. Maybe that's Kansas City. Maybe he's willing to take 95% value or 90% value to continue playing in Kansas City. But I'm telling you right now, you ain't getting Trey Smith on the cheap. Maybe he'll take less. That is not going to be cheap. He is an $18 million a year player. Maybe he'll take 16 to stay in Kansas City, but you ain't getting a hometown $2 for $25 million deal. Not for Trey Smith, not with what he's shown you in his career, not for who he's been this season. He is a far greater player than that.
He's been fantastic this year. Let me ask you a question. This is a question that we will probably ponder a lot in February and early March heading into the offseason. Joe Tooney has a left tackle type of contract to play left guard. Would you give that to Trey Smith, knowing that Joe Tooney's money falls off the books this year? Because I don't think there's a scenario where you're keeping both Tooney and Trey Smith. Like, the money ain't going to work out that way. It just, there's only so much to go around, and Joe Tooney might take a hometown deal, and so will Trey Smith, but they're not taking $4 million deals. They're getting $16, $17 million. The deal the Chiefs gave Joe Tooney a couple years ago, I think it was the offseason after the Super Bowl, so in 2021, would you give that deal right now to Trey Smith?
Yeah, but I guess to your point, though, I'm looking at the contract there. I just don't really know what they're doing with Tooney. Now, maybe their plan is, because he is going into Joe Tooney. Yes, he's the, I mean, at least specify who he is in this. Joe Tooney is going into the last year of his deal next year. So
I believe the cap structure makes him cheaper to cut than keep, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't really see a scenario in which this offseason they're cutting Joe Tooney. Like, they're just letting Joe Tooney just leave. Like, they're not trading him. They're not doing anything. They're just letting Joe Tooney walk. I don't see that happening at all. Could they restructure Joe Tooney's deal and give him an extension? So you sign him for 2025, you get that number down a little bit, you sign him for 26 and 27, and he plays the rest of his days in Kansas City. You then figure out a way to keep Trey Smith on the team next year, and you got to let Nick Bolton go. They have already, we talked a lot about this last offseason, they have already paid one of those individuals in Creed Humphrey. You have Nick Bolton coming up. Maybe you guys don't want to pay Nick Bolton. You also got Trey Smith's contract coming up. And I know the Chiefs haven't done this frequently, but if I'm Trent McDuffie and I think I'm the best corner in the league, I'm paying my fourth and fifth year on a rookie deal. When I think I'm the best corner in the league and I see that my market is going for $17, $18 million, and that's the kind of player that I am, like, you guys tell me I'm a top five corner in the league. You tell me I'm the best corner in the league, but yet I'm not being paid that way. So we're going to have some, like, real serious conversations about who you pay, who you're not going to pay, who's going to continue to be on their rookie deal, who's not going to continue to be on their rookie deal. I just know one thing. You are not getting Trey Smith for cheap. Not with how he's played this season, not with what he means to this team, not his age, not his injury history. That is a guy that when he hits free agency, he is on the bottom line, and you think, wow, that team paid him that? Trey Smith is a guy that gets a massive contract from the Carolina Panthers. He's a guy that goes to Washington with the team on a rookie deal and gets a massive deal. That's how he's played so far this season. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's kind of crazy. And I know that, I guess, with how many quarterbacks were selected this year in the first round, it kind of skews the number. Rob, we have seen 10 quarterbacks drafted in the first round over the last three drafts. These are the names: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Kenny Pickett. So we have seen 10 quarterbacks selected in round one in the last three drafts. It is crazy, and we talk so much about the rookie contract, right? Like, you want to take advantage of those rookie contracts. We have already crossed some of these guys off before we have even gotten close to the end of that deal. Like, we can cross Bryce Young off this list, right? Like, Bryce Young is not going to work in Carolina. He's not going to be on the team next year in Carolina, 2 years after being drafted as the number one overall pick. Anthony Richardson has already been replaced as the number one quarterback for his team. Kenny Pickett is done in the league. And so out of the last 10 guys that we've seen, we can already cross three guys off of the list in such a short amount of time. It is wild to say this about Bo Nix because we have such a limited sample size of getting to see him. He is already one of the better young quarterbacks in the league because the league's turnover rate is just so high right now. Out of those 10, we have just seen 2 months of Bo Nix. But you have to put him ahead of Penix. You have to put him ahead of J.J. McCarthy, especially with J.J. McCarthy's injury. I think you have to put him ahead of Drake May. Like, he's probably one of the better young QBs in the league, and I think all of us still have tremendous questions around him. He's probably exactly what I thought he was going to be coming into the league. I thought that Bo Nix had a chance to be a decent quarterback in the league. I don't think that he has an incredibly high ceiling, but I thought that he had a relatively high floor as well. So I'm not sure if Bo Nix is ever going to be in a conversation where we look at him like he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. But could he be what Baker Mayfield is right now? Could he be maybe slightly worse than that and be the 13th to 14th best quarterback in the National Football League? I think so. I think that's probably what you have to expect from a guy that was, what, the sixth quarterback taken in his own draft class? I think that's a realistic sort of expectation. I think he's been fine so far this year. He can throw it a little bit. He can run a little bit. He's basically the same player that we saw for 5 years in Auburn. He was always felt to me like a relatively safe pick for the Broncos to make, and he's been that so far in his first 8 games as a starter.
What's interesting about that list is I think Bo Nix and maybe everyone around the draft time on that list you laid out probably had the lowest ceiling, but he had the highest floor. And you know what? Hearing those last 10 quarterbacks, sometimes having the highest floor is not a bad spot to be in. How many guys have we seen as first-round picks just bottom out? I know it's beyond the number, but Josh Rosen bottomed out. I mean, was he in the NFL after his rookie contract ended? I mean, just bad, bad. I mean, so I don't think Bo Nix is some superstar. I don't even think that he's ever going to be like in the, like Justin Herbert for a while there got mentioned in the Mahomes sphere as far as physical ability. Bo Nix is never going to have that moment, but the Broncos decided to take the low ceiling, high floor guy that you pair with a quarterback friendly coach and you try to make it work, because too often on that list, it's been, you know, a term we use a lot in the NBA. Projectables. Oh, we think this guy can do this if you coach him up just right and he develops just perfect. We saw that with Anthony Richardson. Hey, if everything develops just right, we think he can be a great NFL quarterback. Sometimes the low risk play is the smart play. And that quarterback list reminds me, sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry.
And I also think if you're going to take the guy that has the kind of relatively low ceiling, you might as well take the mobile one. Like this year, the only quarterbacks that have more rushing yards than Bo Nix are Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. So guys where we acknowledge running is a big part of who they are. Like the reason Philadelphia's short rushing yards work is because Jalen's so good at the quarterback sneak. Jaden Daniels has been really good in those RPOs. I was reading a stat earlier today that they have 200 more yards than every other team in the league off zone read plays. So those are guys that running is a big part of kind of who they are. If you're the Broncos and heading into this first year of Bo Nix as a starter, if you were telling me that you can get Bo Nix to throw for, right now he's on pace to throw for about 3,500 yards. If you can get a quarterback to throw for 3,500 yards and he also can run for another 600 as a rookie, I think you feel really good about where you are as a quarterback. I don't know if the Broncos have one of the better, I guess, quarterbacks overall in the league, but that's a really good foundation, especially for what you're paying him to be 24 years old. And if you continue to get him to improve, you feel like you got a pretty capable, pretty consistent quarterback play. And the Broncos just haven't had that of late. That's not what they had with Russell Wilson. That's not what they had with the quarterbacks before Russell Wilson. It does feel like the Broncos are finally stable at the position. I don't know if they're going to be great at quarterback, but it does feel like they're stable.
The question of Bo Nix, and this is maybe too early to have this conversation, it probably is, the question of Bo Nix eventually will become the lack of ceiling, because in 4 years, he's going to be up for a contract. And again, that's projecting 4 years from now. We don't need to talk about it today. But that's when the Broncos will have to make a decision, and that's when I think the narrative and what we're talking about with Bo Nix will shift. Because we too often use Alex Smith's the analogy. That's very unfair to Alex Smith. I get that.
Somebody on the text line said that he reminds him of Jeff Garcia, which I actually think is a really good comparison.
That's a great comparison.
I think it's a really good one.
You would never give Jeff Garcia the number that you're seeing quarterbacks get now. Because you kind of feel like he is what he is. So I'm curious what happens in Denver, because as much as I credit Denver for taking the, you know, safe, don't get burned, we're not going to go for big measurables, we know what we're looking for guy. When it's time to pay that guy, let's see if the Broncos have the stones to walk eventually, because that's not the kind of guy that should be getting $50 million.
Now let me ask you this question. Do you think that Bo Nix can become Tua? Because if you think he can become Tua, then he is going to get paid. Right? Like, if you think that he can develop into Tua, and we saw what the Dolphins look like when they have Tua and when they don't have Tua, it's a drastic difference. And they haven't given Bo Nix nearly the amount of weapons that they've given Tua. They gave Tua Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. and some capable tight ends and a capable run game. This Broncos team is not really loaded. They gave him his homeboy to play with in Troy Franklin, and I don't know why we keep trying to make this Courtland Sutton thing happen. He's not that guy. We treat Courtland Sutton like he's Terry McLaurin, basically. He's not Terry McLaurin. They've been in the league the same time, and Terry, I've seen do it with multiple quarterbacks, multiple situations. He is just a far better player. So I'm not here telling you that I think Bo Nix is some superstar young quarterback, but could the Broncos be in a position in a couple of years where they're the Dolphins? Could they be a 10, 11 win team that challenges Kansas City? But there's a pretty clear difference between those two teams. And can they be a team that has some upward mobility? It feels like, for the first time in maybe a decade, it feels like the Broncos are on the right path of how you build your organization. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about the NFL. We'll also get back to Thursday Night Football. The Ravens take on the Bengals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.